Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Hour number one, talked a little NFL rule changes. Basically, they kicked the can down the road a little bit. We'll recap you here in a minute. Hour number two, talking about the just the athletics. Hour number three, the world is our oyster. I'm not really sure what that is supposed to mean. Oysters are pretty small. And aren't they found at like the bottom of the sea? Is it because they have pearls in them and you can like...
Yeah, I was going to say it's probably a value thing.
But sometimes they don't have pearls, right?
That's true. It might be more of a crapshoot than people think.
You know what I'm going to have to do?
Ask AI.
I think I'm going to. That's how I gave so much information about those soccer teams that moved. I mean, you think I was just pulling that out of my ass?
I thought you were.
See? That's how I use AI now. I use it. I use it. The more I can use it and the less that you know I use it, that is the goal that I am aiming for. So we'll get into some of these rule changes in a moment, or at least more of it. Right now, let's get to Robert in Annapolis. It's good to talk to you, Robert. How are you?
Hey, Voices. As always, thanks for taking my call. On topic, a couple comments on the NFL rules. One they didn't address, it really gets me. I think you may have mentioned this at some point in the past. The fumble through the end zone, going to the defensive team automatically. I hate that rule.
Doesn't even come up anymore. They don't even. The fans hate it, but the teams like never seem to care. They never bring it up. It's never voted on.
I don't think the NFL listens to us, but anyhow, well, we've talked about that. That ball should just go back to the spot of the fumble since it wasn't recovered. If it was fourth down, it's obviously going to go to the defense. If it was first, second, or third down, then it just the offense continues on. Of course, they go on to the next down. They don't gain anything by it. But anyhow, on loss of the thing with the athletics, I've lost two teams. I lost the Baltimore Bullets. And I think it was 1973, but they moved to Largo, Maryland, which was actually closer to me. It's still in Maryland, so it was still my team until I lost interest in the team and the NFL. But the one that really hurt was when the Colts left in 1984. I actually was a younger guy, of course, and I was more emotionally attached to them than I even am to the Ravens. But, yeah. You know, once they left, I never rooted for them again. I didn't necessarily root against them. They left. It was like a breakup with a girlfriend. They move on, you know, and that's really what these sport franchises are. They're relationships, and relationships in life, they come and go, and so be it. And that's my philosophical comment for this evening, although I do did get a Bartometer suggestion, understandable. Got through last week with the quarterback, so I can go to my grave a happy man, I guess. But thanks.
You got one for this week, or no one for this week?
Yeah, we might come in. One thing I want to tell you, though, and I think I've told you this before, that's one of your best segments, and you bury it on Thursday nights because very often you're preempted, particularly in the NFL season, because of the Thursday night games. And then, of course, you were actually been pre. I didn't actually catch that live. I heard you.
Oh, with the college basketball, was I preempted?
Right. You got to move that to Tuesday or Wednesday. That's just a production advisement. But that you
no, you know,
that
Robert,
thing.
that's a good Robert. That's a that's your best producing yet.
You gotta reconsider that. And anyhow, by the way, you talked about your bachelor party in Las Vegas. I've been the best man. I had to spring for the bachelor parties. Were you and your buddy, were you each other's best man? And that's how you came up with that? I mean,
we were both in each other's wedding, yeah.
Okay, but well, I'm talking about usually the bachelor party is taken care of by the best man. So I was just curious.
No, that doesn't happen no more.
Anyhow, hey, thanks for taking my call, my friend.
All right, thanks, Robert. That doesn't happen no more, is what just came out of my mouth. Yeah, you know what? I agree with Robert. I think we should switch up the Bartometer.
Okay,
what move? Do you got any production value on that? You're the executive producer.
Oh, I don't care. So what? Do we do power rank? We could swap power rankings with Bartometer. We could swap call or fold with Bartometer. I'd rather not move. Guess what they said.
I got a good one.
I'm listening.
We'll move it to Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll start this week because it's Tuesday and the Bartometer's not here. But then that means I don't have to bring it in on Thursday. And we don't do Bartometer this week.
All right, so we skip the Bartometer this Thursday then?
No. What we're going to do is we will continue. I'm going to propose, and you can share. The Bartometer has been a Thursday institution since I started on this time slot. We've started on Thursdays. I think it can move to Thursdays. I mean Tuesdays.
Try that again? Yeah.
I think come fall or come like August or whatever, because Thursday is a football day. And it does, we do the Bartometer sometimes like right as the game is ending, the Thursday night game. And that can be, if it's a good game, people want to talk about it. And also, if it's a good game, I'm like, I'm doing the Bartometer, but I'm also watching the game. And if I have fantasy players in that game, I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah, you forget know? It.
So, Robert, I will once again take you up on that suggestion, I think. And coming this fall, we will move the Bartometer. Maybe we'll do like a whole... what are our fun segments? We do Guess What They Said Mondays and Fridays, last hour of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We do Call or Fold, which, did you get my text?
I did.
And when are we doing it tonight?
Everything can move down.
Okay, we'll do that next hour. And then Power Rankings, Worst in Five on Wednesdays. I think that can stay. Yeah, basically, we'll just move the Bartometer. We'll swap that and call or fold. How about that?
Yeah, works for me. Now, the only question I have is, do we want to change the times on it as well? Because we usually put call or fold in like the middle of the third hour. But Bartometer, that's an 11 o'clock Eastern vehicle. That's a top of the
Tuesdays,
second.
Tuesdays at 11 o'clock, the Bartometer.
I like it.
Tuesdays at 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 Pacific. Starting September 2nd.
Coming to a fall near you. This fall. We need trailer music this fall. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
The Bartometer dun, 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 is going dun, 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 to a new home. Tuesday. And I don't know why it started to sound like, gravedigger and PA announcer, but Tuesdays
can we
this fall.
Can we, like, you know, on those rejoins where it's like the you know what one I hate is? Bart Winkler thanks you. That one.
Oh, what? Thank you for listening to the show?
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
What's wrong with that?
But we can make one of those that be like, Bartometer, Thursdays at 11 Eastern. Don't forget, it's new time. Tuesdays at 11 Eastern, starting in 5 months.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show.
Yeah, isn't there a second one? There's a second one that's cornier than that.
Which one is that?
I think it's like it's something. Thank. It's something like. It's basically saying like we're. I don't know, but the way that it sounds is like, God, we're so glad you're here. We need you. We're so glad.
I wonder which one that is.
Yeah, there's another one that is worse than that, or maybe not. Maybe it is just that one. Whatever. I don't write them. I don't need to care about them. Rule changes in the NFL. We had a few today. And Roger Goodell gave some comments. You may know that everybody is in West Palm Beach for the owners meeting. Some of these things they voted on today. And some of the stuff they are going to kick down and vote again in May.
Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah.
I figured that was it. I couldn't find where it was buried, but that's the one. I knew it. The second I saw it, I'm like, that's the one that Bart's talking about.
Thanks for sticking around.
Come on. Please, please, may I have another quarter? Please. Maybe I'm too hard on it.
Thanks for sticking around.
Dial it down a bit.
He's very happy.
Yeah, the first one's better. The thank you for whatever. That one's fine.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show.
Yeah, because, thank you for listening to the show.
Thanks for sticking around.
Like, relax, dude. Act like you've made a friend before. Okay? All right. With that being said, Roger Goodell explains the rationale for potentially tweaking the tush-push rule.
There are safety issues that are being considered in that case. We have very little data from it, but it's beyond data. There's also, there's the mechanism of injury that we study, that type of thing that leads us to show the risk involved with a particular player, particular tackle. So those are things that we did discuss. I do think there's a lot of discussion about going back to the previous rule, back to pre-2004. It's a dispute about how long that rule was in play, but the reality of it is I think that makes a lot of sense in many ways because I think it expands it beyond just that single play.
So basically we want to get rid of it because of vibes? Yeah, there's injuries that are part of it. We don't have any data, but injuries. And that's what a lot of coaches have said. It seems like there was some sort of like messaging campaign that got out. Like if you're going to try to get rid of this, let's make it an injury component. The same way that the NFL has 10-minute overtimes in the regular season because they say injuries. Which, I mean, again, that baffles me. What's another 5 minutes? Also, you make teams play on Thursday nights. If you really cared about injuries and how much time they'd have to rest, you would not have Thursday night football, but the dollar is too mighty. The dollar is too mighty. For that. The tush push, they talked about it. It was like 16-16 in an informal vote. 16-16 in an informal vote. And then they never went to a formal vote because there's a lot of language that has to be clarified, including what Goodell was saying about, look, we got to figure this out. What is the language for this? Is it going back to the old rule where you can't push a runner? You used to not be able to push a runner. That changed around 2004, 2005. And because you can do that now, the tush push is legal. I personally was fine with it, and I'm usually of the rule or of the thinking, if you don't like it, stop it. I feel like the defense, when they try to stop it, they get penalized for it, as we saw in that Commanders game in the NFC Championship. I've gotten to a point now where I think it's become like an extra point. Why did they change the extra point? They didn't change the extra point for any other reason than the result was too predictable. Why are we kicking extra points from the 37-yard line? Or why are we kicking 37-yard extra points from the 20-yard line? We shouldn't be doing that. But we are because the result was too predictable. I think the tush push is in that. So there's a lot of different reasons and ways you could attack it. But coaches and owners that are against it are all saying injury. And not like the real reasons we want to get rid of it is that it just sucks to see it over and over. So, but they're not going to say that because then they think they look stupid. So then they try to give you the injury, which seems to be the NFL's, it seems to be their cop-out. Whenever they want to change a rule and they don't totally have a good reason for it, they say injuries. Well, injuries. Yeah, I got to change it. Injuries. The kickoff has changed because of injuries with the landing zone and moving the kicking team up. Everybody's up now except for the kicker. He hangs back and kicks it from the 35-yard line. And if it was a touchback, it would go to the 30-yard line. The return rate prior to the change was down in the 20 percentile. Last year it was 33%. So only one out of every three kicks were being returned. And the NFL's like, that's not why we changed the rule. So we're going to move the touchback up. So now if you kick it out of bounds, it's up to the 35-yard line. That did change. I still do not understand why the kicker can't just move back. He's kicking the ball from the 35-yard line. It only takes 65 yards for a touchback. Move him back 5 yards. If you move him back to where these guys can't kick it out of the end zone, guess what? There won't be kicks that need to be a touchback. You'll have 100% return rate. So I really don't understand the thinking and the logic behind that one. It makes no sense to me. You're not going to make it make sense to me. I'm pleading for someone to try. There was a proposal to let teams do onside kicks whenever they wanted. That got shut down. There was a proposal for automatic first downs on defensive holding penalties to no longer be automatic first downs. That got shot down. The overtime period is changed. It's 10 minutes. But if you score a touchdown in the regular season, the other team now does get a chance to score. That seems like common sense. But with the overtime only being 10 minutes, I think we might be in for some more ties, honestly. And then owners also tabled. They didn't totally vote, but they tabled a proposal by the Lions to seed playoff teams strictly on regular season records. The Lions think that if you win your division, you should be in the playoffs, but the 7 playoff teams should then be seeded based on records. So if you win your division and you're 7-10, you should, and there's nobody else with a worse record that got in, and there wouldn't be, then you should not have the 4 seed, nor should you host a playoff game. I still would like to see the divisions matter. I think this might be more of a problem if, say, there's 4 divisions of 4 in the AFC and NFC. If there were 2 divisions of 8, and it was like 15-2 and 14-3, and then the other division was like a 10-7, that's a little different. And that happened over and over and over. That's a little different. But it's 4 divisions. 4 divisions of 4. It's going to happen. Occasionally. What you're doing is you're adding a thing to prevent the 1 out of every 6 years it happens. I don't think there's a need for that. So they tabled that for now. Roger Goodell talked about the discussion around it, specifically from the home playoff perspective.
Winning the division was the number one thing that when you come into training camp, that's the goal. Win that division first. And should the reward for winning that division be you're in the playoffs and a home game? There was some discussion potentially about, you know, if you were 500 or less and you won that division, should you also get the home game? I think there was some interest in that also. But I think the reality is it was very healthy. I think there'll be more discussion of it.
I don't think there should be. I think it's fine as is, but they're going to do what they want to do. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. I can get Rob here in Connecticut real quick. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Bart. Oh, Captain, my Captain. How's everything going with you?
I'm good, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just can't wait until we get over this tush-push dilemma. I don't know what the big deal is. JR was talking about it earlier, and I totally agreed with him, and I was thinking about it before. It was like, how often is the tush-push actually used? They're worried about injuries. I mean, every time a football player steps out on that field and runs a play, they're in risk of injury no matter what. So, yeah. I mean, I could see if they're running the tush-push every single play, okay, yeah. But, I mean, I personally don't care whether they ban it or not. I just don't understand what the big deal is. They're worried about injuries. I mean, come on, it's football, the way I look at it. That's number one. Number two, Bartometer, I have a great idea. I don't think you can do it until after the draft. But once we know all the players that have been drafted up to number 8, because usually you go to 8. Each player, out of those players, which one will be the most productive for the team that they were drafted by?
All right, we can do like a draft recap top 8.
Who will be the most impactful player for that team?
Yeah, we could even do that. I could do that. Rob, I like that one.
Who do you think? Okay, cool. All right. And Carlos, have a great time at the opening day. Cubs. Go Cubbies.
Well, I'm going with them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys are going together. You guys going to hug each other?
Yeah, we are. We decided on a quick hug. But maybe we'll see what the moment calls for, actually.
Awesome. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a dap hub situation.
What's up, KO?
What's up, Bart?
Thank you for sticking around.
Thank you. Thank you for meeting me at this game. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you for taking my call.
Very good.
Very good. Very, very, very good. 888-710-4ISN. Let me just double check. We're doing worst in five next?
Yes.
We're doing worst in five next. Power rankings, NBA and NHL, straight ahead on the Bart Winkler Show.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Power Rankings, Bart Winkler style.
You know what? You just made the list.
It's worst in five. Here's Bart Winkler.
Okay, it is time for our power rankings, which we would normally, for those, no one cares, but we would normally do it on Wednesday. But Carlos is gone the rest of the week. You guys will not be treated with Carlos's presence. But I will on Friday. Carlos and I are going to be at a baseball game together in Chicago. And then I will be on air that night to tell you all about it. And maybe we'll call Carlos live. Or I'll just record something with you and we'll play it back at night.
Well, don't ruin the surprise, but I was probably going to call in.
Oh, you think you might?
If I'm sober, yes.
All right, okay. Well, I'll still record something with you so I can get two segments out of it.
Beautiful.
I'm not driving down to Chicago going to a Cubs game with you and not like knocking out a couple of segments. Okay? You're going to be a tuckered out little boy that day. Our power rankings, we do the worst team and then the five best. So I'm doing NBA. Carlos is doing NHL. In a couple of weeks, we will transition to Major League Baseball. And we'll have that together. Do you think once we embrace in real life, like, do you think that'll make our dynamic better or worse?
I don't think it's going to change.
I mean, I feel like you're with me at all times.
Pretty much.
All right. Worst team in the league. I'm going to put the Pelicans. They don't have the worst record, but.
You suck!
It's the Jazz or it's the Wizards, but whatever. The Pelicans announcing that they're shutting everybody down for the season, and I like to be an equal opportunity employer with my worst team of the league. Also, it's just kind of boring to say the best team with the best record because I'm saving that for my best five. So for the worst team, I'll just say it's the Pelicans after shutting everybody down and really being a disappointment. That was one of these teams. I don't think we thought of them like the Thunder, but we certainly thought of them as a team with building blocks, and now we're in the did they screw up with Zion Williamson? Is he a bust territory? Nothing good coming out of New Orleans with this team. So I've got the Pelicans as the worst team in the NBA. Carlos.
You suck. Well, I thought about switching it up, but I really can't because the San Jose Sharks, They remain with the NHL worst 49 points on the season. And here's why I'm going to keep them in the same spot. They lost to my team 6-1 they lost to the Rangers. And the Rangers have been extremely infuriating to watch. They are like in the midst of trying to get that second wild card spot, and they're getting no favors. Either it's dropping a game that they shouldn't be dropping. They seem to never win in overtime. They always blow a lead in the third period. So you lose to that team, you deserve to stay here. But they also got killed by the Kings. And that was just by an 8-1 route. So it's the San Jose Sharks. They stink, but hope could be on the way because they'll get a top three lottery pick. Macklin Celebrini's put together a compelling case to win the Calder Trophy, which is essentially Rookie of the Year. He's got 21 goals, 53 points. So maybe another draft pick can help San Jose out. But for now, they're the worst team in hockey until I deem so that I'm bored with them.
You suck!
All right, the power rankings, the five best teams in the NBA. The top two teams have been either the Thunder or the Cavs. So let's keep that tradition going. At number one, I'm going to go with the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder now have the league's best record by three games, as they are 63-12. They've won 10 in a row. They very well could become one of the rare 70 win teams. Okay. How many games they have? They'd have to win out, right? They've played 75 games. They'd have to win out, but it is possible. And they may still rest some guys, but it is in play. And the Thunder, being 63-12, have the top spot. They were also number one last week. Number two. Last week it was the Cavs. This week it's going to still be the Cavs. They're 60-15. They'll be wrapping up the Eastern Conference here in no time. Been playing very well. I think they're primed for home court advantage, and that should help them. It's probably an inevitable Eastern Conference matchup against the team who is at number three. And they were number three last week, and they're number three this week. That's the Boston Celtics, who have won 9 in a row and have made that gap 4 games. There's a scenario where maybe the Celtics can actually get the number one seed, which would be wild. And then it would really change, because I do think at this point the Cavaliers, I'm going chalk, like in the Final Four, I'm going Cavaliers Thunder as we go into the playoffs. I think if it's Cavaliers Celtics, a lot of people are going to take the Celtics. And the closer this gap comes, the more rationale they may have. But it's only down to 4. Thunder's lead, by the way, in the West, on the number two team in that conference, is 14.5 games. The number two team in that conference was actually number 4 last week. They're number 4 again.
Number 4.
And that is the Houston Rockets. They've won 8 of their last 10, 49-27. And again, they're 14.5 back. And then number 5 last week was the Knicks.
Number 5
is also still the Knicks. So last week I had Thunder, Cavs, Celtics, Rockets, Knicks. I now have Thunder, Cavs, Celtics, Rockets, Knicks. So a real strong finish here on the worst in 5 NBA power rankings for me.
I just felt like you were waiting to stick something and it never stuck. So I'll just jump in, I guess. All right, number one for me.
Number one.
Much like you did swapping your number one and number two teams, I did the same thing last
week. I didn't.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I actually have the chart here. The first week we did it, it was Cavs-Thunder. The next 4 weeks, it was Thunder-Cavs. The next 3 weeks, it was Cavs-Thunder. And then it was Thunder-Cavs the last 3. And my power rankings this week, the exact same as they were a week ago.
Copy and paste. All right, well, I made some changes here. Number one team for me is the Winnipeg Jets. They were number 2 last week. They got 106 points. Won 3 straight games. They're a plus 83 goal differential. It's best in the league. They're the only team with 50 or more wins this season. Connor Hellebuck is essentially a lock for the Vezina Trophy. He probably should be considered for the Hart Trophy, which is the MVP. But I don't know if he's going to get that, but he really should get a lot of votes there. They'll play Dallas on the 10th, so perhaps the West will be on the line. But for now, it's going to belong to Winnipeg. At number two.
Number two.
That'll be my previously number one team, the Washington Capitals. They have 105 points, so a single point differentiates it's Washington and Winnipeg for the President's Cup. They're the best team in the East by far. And Alex Ovechkin has really started to heat up. He's now just 4 goals away from passing Wayne Gretzky's all-time record. He's got 8 games to do it. And you take a look at the rest of their schedule. The only game that could probably be trouble for Washington is against the Carolina Hurricanes. So I'd be really comfortable locking them as the number one seed in the East. At number three.
Number three.
That'll be the Dallas Stars with 102 points. Now they're only 4 points behind Winnipeg for the lead in the West. They're riding a 6-win streak. Like Washington, Dallas has got a pretty easy schedule too, so trying to catch Winnipeg might come down to their final matchup. They play April 10th, and I want to give a shout-out to general manager Jim Neal. He should win the general manager of the year for acquiring Mikko Rantanen at the trade deadline, and then signs him to an 8-year extension. I'll continue to beat the drum that the Stars are the most balanced team in hockey. At number four.
Number four.
That'll be the Vegas Golden Knights. They stay in the same position. At 98 points, they lead the Pacific Division. And just like the Stars, they're also on a 6-game heater. Should they hold a division, they'll get a favorable first round in the playoffs. But I want to shout out Jack Eichel right now for a second. He's got 27 goals. He has a franchise best, 93 points. He won't win the MVP either, but he should get some consideration and get some love there. And finally, to round out the top five.
Number five.
That'll be the Carolina Hurricanes, 94 points. I talked about how Dallas' GM should lock up the GM of the Year award. It didn't screw Carolina at all. Just because it didn't work, they didn't fold it. They're 11-2 in their last 13 games. They'll probably face the New Jersey Devils in the first round, which might as well be a bye week since Jersey lost Jack Hughes for the season. Taylor Hall, former Blackhawk, has gone on a run with 5 goals in his last 4 games. And Jake Slavin could win the Lady Bing Trophy for the 3rd time. So, to recap, I got the Winnipeg Jets at 1, Washington Capitals at 2, Dallas Stars at 3, the Vegas Golden Knights at 4, and the Carolina Hurricanes at number 5.
Very good. Those are your worst in 5 power rankings on a special Tuesday. And a reminder, the Bartometer, which is done every Thursday at 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 Pacific, we will do it this Thursday. And we'll do it every Thursday the rest of spring and summer. But starting in September, on September 2, it will be moving to Tuesdays. So we just want to get the word out early that the Bartometer is changing days in 5 months.
I'll get started on that trailer over the weekend.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Right now, let's get an update with Jennifer Williams. I would like to react to some of those baseball scores you just heard. The Cubs won 7-4. We've been grinding on the A's a little bit for, you know, being a terribly owned franchise. The franchise itself should be fine. Although, I have to play you this. This is from A's Cast on their NBC Sports regional affiliate. And this broadcaster, Chris Townsend, like, this is tonight's broadcast. And so they're reacting to how night one at Sacramento, they're, I think they're playing the paid protester card. Because there were people that came up from Oakland, the Bay Area, and they're like, screw this, man. We're going to go and give them a hard time. And Chris Townsend is the guy who you're going to hear. And I don't know, sometimes it's not what people say, it is what they say, but it's also how they say it. It's just very aggressive. And I was just stunned to hear this on a regional sports broadcast. Even if you know, these regional sports broadcasts, they're fans of their team. Of course, that's why we watch. But I don't know, maybe I'm overreacting. This was Chris Townsend today on A's Cast.
And a new era of A's baseball takes off tonight.
Yeah, because we saw in the media scrums before the game, we saw what was going on, and certain people have come up from the Bay Area and what they want to drum up and what they're, but it's all going to end. Because after a while, no one's going to hear about it anymore.
Okay, so this is a city and a place you left, and I just felt that, like, that was condescending. And everybody that sounds like that, oh, why do they always, they all got the same face all the time. I just thought that was very insulting from Chris Townsend to say. And mean-spirited. It's like, okay, you got the job with the A's. You've been there 7 years. Relax. John Fisher's not leaving you in Oakland. He brought you with him. You're just fine. So the A's lose. The other score I wanted to look at was the Padres, because they're undefeated still. They beat the Guardians 7-0. So they stay undefeated. Michael King with 11 strikeouts in that one. And then the Dodgers stay undefeated, which means the Braves stay defeated. The Braves are 0-6. I think when some teams start slow, you're like, oh boy, that's no good. But the Braves being 0-6, I think you take the long-term approach there. They've also started against the two teams that I just said were undefeated. That's who they've played. Now, are they undefeated because they played the Braves? Nah, I don't think that. But the Dodgers are 7-0 now. 7-0 are the Dodgers. The other game was the Yankees got a sweep against the Brewers, and there's been a lot of talk about the Torpedo Bats. They lost tonight 7-5 to the Diamondbacks. Volpe hit a home run. Ben Rice hit a home run. Dominguez hit a home run. I think just Volpe uses the bat out of those three. But I don't, I could be mistaken, but I don't think those other guys do. Big news out of Coastal Carolina for their college football program, which was not an April Fool's joke. This had to be clarified because they announced that many concessions at next year's games will be free. They announced it via this video, which features some of the worst acting you will ever hear, but I appreciate the effort.
What's up, boss?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's the damage?
Free.
Free. Well, what about for this?
Free as well.
Free.
All of it free. You want some nachos?
Yeah.
Free too.
All free.
All free.
Free. Can I get 50 of these?
Yeah.
Free.
Free.
What about a drink?
All of it. Free.
Free.
Have two drinks.
Drinks?
Whew. And all a hot free? Dog. Yeah.
Hot dogs free too?
All free. There you go.
Free.
Free.
Sweet.
That's right, Till Nation. This fall in Brooks Stadium, every fan, every game, always free. Free concessions, popcorn, nachos, hot dog, fountain drinks, and water for every fan this fall. Come out to Brooks Stadium, get your tickets now, and cheer on the Shots. Go Shots.
On the Go Bart Shots. Winkler Show.
Go free Shots. Nachos. Free nachos.
No, we got to work on our flow.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn me up in the headphones right now.
Please. What?
Turn me up in the headphones, man. Dude, have you ever heard a rap song ever in your life?
Yeah, I heard this one. All right, stop. Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with a brand new edition. Something. Grab a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll go. And then I've heard this one. Suck it in, suck it in, suck it in. If you're in Tintin or Anne Boleyn, make a desperate move. Oh, that's Blues Traveler. So that's pretty cool, right? Free concessions.
Now that is pretty cool. What team is doing this again?
Coastal Carolina. You don't recognize their theme song?
That's Coastal Carolina. That theme song is terrible, but I love the idea. That might make it a destination for me. I would go check out a game just to go be fat.
So you would go fly, pay the money to fly, pay the money to get in?
Don't question my logic.
So the whole point of this is to get more people to come to the games, knowing that they don't have to pay for their concessions. So yes, they're giving things away for free, but they're thinking more people will come for single game and more people will come for season tickets. This has been a thing that has been tested South Carolina did for some men's basketball games over a winter break, and a lot more people came when they normally wouldn't have come. Yeah, you'll pay the ticket. There's something in it that's for free. Even if you got to pay, there's something in it. This all came about because Chance Miller, when he was at South Carolina doing the promotion, he spied on this mom. Not gross. He was watching her juggling three small kids in line for concessions. And the kids wanted this, the kids wanted this. She paid and then gave her son his nachos. And then he dropped them right away. And he said, you could see the look on her face, like, why did I do this? Why did I take these kids here? Why am I doing this? I'm wasting money. It's no fun. So he then came up to the mom. This guy rules. That's the guy you heard, Chance Miller. He came up to the mom and he said, go to your seats. I'll be right back. And then he just brought them free nachos. And they were so, like, overcome with that, that the family became season ticket holders. I mean, sometimes like, you go to a restaurant and you're like, oh, okay, your dessert, it's free. You're like, oh, my God. And you go there forever. It does. Sometimes just giving something a little away for free, you build a sense of loyalty. And so that's what they think will happen. Now, not everything is going to be free. They're still, like, they've got Bojangles there and they've got Chick-fil-A there. And I don't, like, nachos are free, hot dogs are free, water's free. So a lot of stuff is free. I think soda. But you know there'll be somebody that goes up to the Chick-fil-A and be like, I thought it was free.
Of course.
You know that'll happen. But they're going to make it so it's like grab and go. They're going to put everything out. There's not going to be long lines. They averaged 21-some thousand fans last year, about middle of the Sun Belt Conference. They're hoping that that increases, and I think it's great. They're getting a lot of attention for this, and they should. In an era where people are trying to put a 10% charge on a ticket to pay the student athletes, it feels good when the fans get something in return at Coastal Carolina. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.